Okay, this is the hour we will take your phone calls with Susan Massino as we talk about her work, ACDC FAQ, when we come right back. And welcome back to Coast, Susan Massino with us. Susan, where do people pick up your books?
Actually, my book is on Amazon.com. You can also go to SusanMassino.com, and all six of my books are on there. And, of course, they're all for sale on Amazon.
Absolutely. Now, when you do your work into AC/DC, and, of course, you've written other books, Rock and Roll Fantasy, Famous Wisconsin Musicians, and the like, what drives you? What fascinates you about this field?
I always, as a kid, I always wanted to know how people made their dreams come true. That was, so when I was in grade school, I read like every biography I could get my hands on. And it wasn't just music, it was everything, you know, scientists and athletes. And I wanted to know how they made their dreams come true. And it is fascinating once you get into, you know, like a band like AC/DC or the book I did, Family Tradition, Three Generations of Hank Williams, on the trials and tribulations that they go through, that, you know, it seems like they live a dream life, but it never is that way. They all suffer and go through things that we all go through, and many of them are not overnight successes like they seem in the media. They work hard.
They've sold over 200 million records worldwide, which is absolutely amazing. How old were they when they started?
Oh, my goodness. When they first started, Angus was only, I want to say, 15 or 16 when he joined the band, so that would have made Malcolm 18.
Wow, that's something. They played around Australia. They were too young to play in bars and pubs, right?
Well, actually, they did anyway, and they used to say when they got if they got questioned about Angus, they said that he was a little person.
In a little schoolboy outfit, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, he was billed as the baby guitar player, the baby guitarist back in those days. And they did play Australia for quite a while. I mean, you know, as I said, they were on the road forever. And then they finally got over to the United Kingdom and really made quite a splash over there before they came to the States.
What was the home run for them, the moment of success?
I think when the Highway to Hell album came out. They got a lot of hits off that album and a lot of airplay, and all of a sudden, you know, they had been opening for people for years, and then all of a sudden they started getting headlining dates. And they really, you know, they knew it. They knew that. I remember I got to listen to the Highway to Hell album on Phil Rudd's boombox one night before it was ever put out. And they were all very excited. They felt like this was going to be the record, and it was. They were right about that.
Did you find them to be nice people?
Oh, gosh. You're never going to find a nicer group of guys. I mean, they are so down to earth. You would never know. If you didn't know who they were, you could have a conversation with them and walk away and never know that they were that famous and that rich and that accomplished. I mean, they remember the days that they didn't have any money.
Never went to their head, did it?
No, it didn't. It honestly didn't. I can say that for all of them. They're very, very sweet people.
I was with Bob Costas. Do you know Bob? He's with NBC, NBC Sports, and, you know, he really got his start in St. Louis. So he comes back here a lot. And you talk about somebody where it just never went to his head. He was a nice guy. He stayed a nice guy. He's pleasant with everybody. And, you know, that's the way you have to do it. And I guess AC/DC is the same way.
Yeah, I would say they are. I mean, they know that their fans are who pays their bills. And they don't forget that. And they're so kind, and they're really, really so down to earth that it's almost kind of funny in a way that they don't seem to, you know, they don't seem to realize, I don't think, until they go out on tours, how much they're loved around the world. I think that they don't think that way all the time.
And other than the tragedy of Bon Scott dying of an over drinking binge, they have stayed pretty clean, haven't they?
Yes, they have until recently.
Uh-oh.
I was looking through. Well, you know, the thing with Phil Rudd. It's really weird that this all happened in the year 2014 when they got ready to go in to record the new album, you know, that they're supporting right now. They put out a statement in April about Malcolm Young not able to join the band and that he was retiring. And then, sadly, his health condition was revealed, and he is suffering from dementia, very bad. It's just unbelievable because he is a genius. I mean, he wrote all That's the great riffs, you know, for Thunderstruck and Back in Black and all of that. So that was, you know, I think took the world by storm. And then toward the end of 2014, even though Phil Rudd did go to the studio in Vancouver and he did record the new album, he was charged with drug possession and trying to arrange a murder of two people in New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. They were, the whole band was completely blindsided by that.
Yeah, I would guess so. I would guess so.
Yes,
but exonerated, right?
Not yet. He's, he's
still hanging over his head.
Yeah, he's still, you know, he's unable to travel. That's why he's not in the band right now. And I think that he hasn't been sentenced yet. So anything could happen. I'm hoping that it's not bad, but it's not good.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Brian's with us east of the Rockies. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, George, this is Brian, Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Susan. Great show, George. Great show. This show is custom made for me. I just have to tell you, AC/DC, to me and my brother, was one of the greatest bands we ever grew up on. When I was 13 years old, my mom took me and my brother and our friends to AC/DC at the Pacific Auditorium here in Omaha. It was a great concert. Angus Young, he never stops moving when he plays. Never stops. He even lays down on stage and spins around in circles. It was For Those About to Rock album. They have cannons on the side of each stage, and it was For Those About to Rock, fired, boom, the cannons would go off like simultaneously. It was so loud. It was awesome. And Back in Black album, you know, that I think that's their greatest that they ever did of all time. You Shook Me All Night Long is probably their most famous song, in my opinion. When I first learned to play guitar, the power chords that they taught me was off the Back in Black album. Angus was a great guitarist. They're a great band. The Live in My Heart, you know, is part of, you know, my childhood, teenage years and middle school years. You know, I mean, they're just tremendous. And, you know, all the kids in my neighborhood and the kids that I went to school with, we loved them. I mean, they really were at the top of their game at the time. I always remember that.
Do you stay, do you keep on top of whatever they're doing these days?
I don't, but I've moved on, you know, and have a family and stuff like that. But, you know, I've told my children about it, and hopefully I can tell my grandchildren about it. I played it. My kids kind of, they joke around about it a lot, but they just don't fully understand the magnitude that this band was and probably still are.
I love it. Susan, you want to react to that? Thank you, Brian.
All righty.
Thanks
That's a good
for
story.
In. That's great.
I guess a lot of people have been influenced by this group, haven't they?
Oh, my gosh. Thousands and thousands and so many musicians that I still meet to this day that said, you know, I started playing guitar because of Angus, or I started playing drums because of Phil Rudd. And they still do it to this day. You see on YouTube all the time, people send me links to little kids, I mean really, really little kids, like 4, 5, 6 years old, that are playing AC/DC songs and just loving it.
What is their stage presence like? When you look at them, when you're in the audience, what's their presence like?
It's bigger than life, and it's funny because Angus is so small, but when he's on stage, he is such a powerhouse, and that's what I noticed about the band the first night I saw them, is that the energy that they put off the stage is like a steamroller. And they do that to this day. That's why they're drawing, you know, 75, 100,000 people, because they are, it's just, it's like an explosion when they're on stage. They're just all energy and all fun, and it's a lot of fun. They bring a lot of joy to a lot of people.
I bet his guitar is as big as he is.
Pretty much, yeah.
Next up, let's go to New York. Vincent's with us on Coast to Coast on the Wild Card Line. Hi, Vincent. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Susan. So glad to hear you guys. I just had two quick comments. One was with the Richard Ramirez connection with AC/DC. There was a great author named Philip Carlo who wrote a book called The Night Stalker, The Life and Crimes of Richard Ramirez. And in it, he detailed how Richard Ramirez, when he was a young child, was traumatized by a relative of his who showed him pictures of human mutilation that he brought back from Vietnam, and it had an incredible impact on Richard, and in a way it desensitized him from the reality of the crimes that he committed. And then when he got a little bit older, he moved to California and lived on Skid Row doing insane amounts of drugs, cocaine, crack, and it just pushed him over the edge. Now, the AC/DC connection between him, there was really very little. Like Susan said, you know, they found a hat with the AC/DC logo on it, and the media tried to play up the devil worship connection. And he was a fan of AC/DC, but that was really it. There was really no connection. AC/DC never really played up the devil worship, Satan worship angle. Although Angus would come out and with the Highway to Hell album, he had the little horns, and it was more of a gimmick. Like, he was a little devil. He was a horny little devil.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of sexual innuendo in their lyrics. They were all young men at the time having fun, but they never really played up the satanic angle. They were just hard blues. That's how I always describe their music, hard blues. I saw them 5 times in the last 30 years in concert.
Amazing.
And George, I just wanted to tell you, if you ever just sat and listened to some of their music, and if you listen to their first live album called If You Want Blood, you'll just get immersed in it. The energy that they put out makes you move. You have to move. Best band of all time.
Wow, would you agree with that, Susan? Best band of all time?
I have to say I agree with them, but I'm a little biased.
That's huge.
It is. It is. That's what makes them so magical, is because they never let people down, you know, all 41 years later, and they're still doing it.
I guess you can't compare Dean Martin to them, right?
I don't know. Dino was pretty cool.
He had his own way. Well, you know, it's just that it's different. And here's the other thing. Look how music goes in an evolution. I mean, we looked at the music from the 40s to the 50s, from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s, and then where we are today. It's amazing how it makes that transition, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And it's so fun to hear influences of people from long ago in the music today. And I hear that all the time. You know, you still hear the Chuck Berry or the Bill Haley or, you know, the Beatles. I mean, they keep, you know, every generation is influenced by the one that came before them. And that's what's so fun about music, because it keeps being reborn over and over again. It's I can't imagine life without music.
Let's go to Dennis in Muskoda, Illinois, on the Wild Card Line. Hey, Dennis, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
It's all righty. How you doing, guys?
Good, sir. Good.
Hey, Susan, I've seen AC/DC when Bond was with them. That's the first time I ever saw him. And I tell you, the magic he gave that band hasn't been made since, I don't think. But you were talking, too, about the drummers. And I remember a drummer called Simon Wright that I really liked. I really thought he gave him the real punch that nobody else has yet.
Yes, he did a really good job, and he was hired after Phil Rudd was fired in 83. and he was with them for quite a while, Simon Wright, and he's a great drummer. He's, I think, with Dio now again. So he's a good drummer, and he did a really great job with the band, played on a lot of albums.
They were going kind of head-to-head with the Beatles at the same time, right, in the Rolling Stones, almost the same time period?
Or
a little later?
The Stones continued, but, with the Beatles, they were still pretty young at the time.
So, well, when did the Beatles really pop? 65, 66?
Well, 64 is when they played on Ed Sullivan.
Okay, so, so AC/DC came out 9 years later, I guess, right?
Exactly, yes. Okay. And they, as I said, they were fans of all that music, so all that rolled up influenced them to come out with their own kind of music.
We go next to Iowa. Craig's with us on Coast to Coast. Craig, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Susan.
Hey,
I'm a big fan of the band. You answered one of my questions already, so I got to ask you. I'm 59 years old, and whenever I talk rock and roll with my buddies, I always got to ask, so I'm going to ask you, who's your favorite, Bon Scott or Brian Johnson?
Oh, my gosh. I love Brian, but I've got to say Bon Scott. He was like no other.
Okay. I'm a Brian Johnson fan myself.
All right, Craig. Thanks. Was there much of a difference between the two of them, Susan?
Actually, they're personally very similar. They both like to make people laugh, and Brian is very humble and very just a great guy. I mean, really one of the sweetest people ever. And a lot like Bon, where he, you wouldn't know that he's the singer of one of the biggest bands in the world. You know, he's just so down to earth and very funny, very much like Bon, where he always cracks jokes. He always wants people to laugh. So he's very fun, and I adore him. And he's done an incredible job. He's been in the band for 35 years now. So
let's go to Oahu in Hawaii. Adam's with us. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller here.
Good to have you.
I love the show.
Thank you.
I was just curious. I mean, I like AC/DC. They're really cool and everything, but I'm more of a hardcore Tool fan. I was just curious what you thought about them, and because I know they have a fascination in the cold, and I can take your answer off the air. But
okay, thank you, Adam. What do you think of that group?
They're very good. I've seen them live, and they're a great band. I don't listen to the music a lot, but I've seen them live, and they put on an incredible show. And I know they're very popular, and they have a lot of fans out there.
You know your rock music, Susan.
I love it. I just, I grew up with it. My parents used to be venue owners, so they always had bands. They had, like, bars and hotels and restaurants, and we always had live music. So I grew up with it, and I love it. I love rock and roll.
Would you say AC/DC was your favorite group of all time?
Yeah, I'd have to say that.
How about that? Okay, well, let's get out your website, Susan. Give it out.
SusanMassino.com, M-A-S-I-N-O. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Not real hard to find. I'm out there.
Okay, we're going to come back and take final phone calls in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Susan Massino, author of AC/DC FAQ. And welcome back, Susan Massino with us, and we're going to take your final phone calls as we talk about AC/DC. Susan, tell me about the study that children who listen to music or play music seem to be more accomplished in math, science, and other subjects.
Oh, yeah. Music is so instrumental, no pun intended, in helping kids learn math and all types of things. I mean, learning how to play an instrument or especially listening to music, too, is therapeutic. They're even discovered that listening to music before surgery has brought people's anxiety levels down more than actual medication does.
I believe that. Why does that work, though? I believe it, but it does work. How come?
Well, I think it's because we're a vibration, and music is a vibration, and music is one of the few things that actually, I believe, penetrates your auric field. It goes right in through you, and that's why I think AC/DC's music is so therapeutic, is because it always is joyful. And it always makes you, like one of the callers called in and said, you have to move when you listen to their music. And music is, helps memory, helps anxiety. It actually is helping stroke victims learn how to speak through singing. So music is definitely, I think one of the best things out there. If you want to feel good and just enjoy life, it brings so much joy.
As the band was growing in the 70s, where did they live? Did they stay in Australia most of the time, or did they stay in the States or the United Kingdom?
Well, I believe in the 70s they were pretty much all from Australia, until, of course, they hired Brian in 1980, Brian Johnson, mm-hmm. and he was from England. And actually, when they hired Cliff Williams in 1977, he was from England. So those two probably kept homes there, but in the more recent past, they both, Brian and Cliff, live in Florida. Phil Rudd, lives in New Zealand, has stayed there, and then Angus lives in Holland with his wife, who is from Holland. He has a home in Sydney, Australia, and then Malcolm lived in London and Sydney also, and now he's in Sydney and in hospital, unfortunately.
Is their music still selling, Susan?
Oh my God, yes! It's insane. I mean, the new album right now, I think I want to say it went 6 times platinum in
wow.
one of the countries they just played in, which is 6 million copies.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but in a good way. I mean, it just shows you that. Like I said, there's never a bad experience when you put in AC/DC. If you go to their shows or you listen to their music, or there's a great family. And I have to give a shout out to the Facebook fans out there that have fan pages and great groups of people that they stick together. They're a family. They keep in touch. They meet up in different places as the band. Some of them follow them on tour. And it's just a huge family, and it's all about love, joy, and enjoying life. It's really a positive thing.
I like that. Let's go to Joshua, first-time caller, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Joshua, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I don't have a question for you or for your guest, Susan, but I'm a huge AC/DC fan, and just wanted to give a shout-out to Mark, who turned me on to AC/DC, Billy, and Mike. And Mike is currently incarcerated, but I just wanted to say to Mike, AC/DC rocks. And I'm a Christian, too, who my only real sin is AC/DC, so I love AC/DC.
Joshua, let me ask you, what is it about the group that you like so much?
The beat of the music, the rhythm, and it gets you going. The music gets you going, like Susan said. And only two songs I really don't like, which I changed the words on, is Highway to Hell and Hell's Bells. I changed it to Highway to Heaven and Heaven Heart.
Okay.
So
I see where you're coming from. Great. Thanks, Joshua. So here's a guy who loves the group, just wants to take them a little away from the devil side and make it a little more Christian, spiritual. Nothing wrong with that, I guess, huh?
No, not at all. And the band is very deserving of that. They're very good people.
Yeah, I bet if you were sitting across a table from them or at a bar, they'd be cool, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they're so funny that way. I saw them with my son in 2008, and they had played in front of 17,000 people. And then I was lucky enough to take my son backstage and meet Angus and Malcolm, and we walked in, and about an hour and a half later after the show, and they were sitting there drinking tea and smoking cigarettes and acted like they just walked off the street.
Can you walk in at any time, or do you have to let them know you're there?
Oh, I do. I have to let them know I'm there because, you know, they have people, you know, that do that all over the world, and they have a lot of people like that that they keep in touch with, and, you know, and especially people like me that go back to the Bon Scott days because they love to talk about Bon, yeah. And they love to talk about the fun days when it was very simple, and it's you know, different.
Is it still fun for them? I would assume it is.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. They wouldn't do it if they didn't enjoy it.
No, if it's not fun, you don't do it.
Yeah.
Let's go to David in Lake Forest, California now. Hey, David, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Susan. Hi, George.
Hey, David.
Yeah, I wanted to addressing the question about is AC/DC the greatest rock band ever? Yeah, as far as I know, I've had Back in Black, I think, is the second best selling album of all time. I think about 50-some million copies. I'd venture to say that's probably more than the Beatles, Zeppelin, and the Stones' best albums combined, probably, just because so many people can, you know, young and old, men and women, college, whatever, can identify with those riffs, and that's what makes AC/DC so special, because, you know, they're not everybody likes Led Zeppelin, not everybody likes, you know, the Beatles, but AC/DC kind of transcends and goes, especially that album. For my money, though, I do prefer Bon Scott just because if there's a one voice in rock that is just sex, drugs, and rock and roll, it's that voice. It's probably the most distinctive I've ever heard in rock, that and maybe Robert Plant. But I wanted to see, Susan, have you ever heard of a Northern California Bon Scott tribute band called Touched Too Much? I saw them a couple months ago, and he is just a dead-on Bon Scott ringer. And to hear him sing some of the Back in Black, Back in Black tunes, gave me chills just because you could kind of hear Bon singing them. Amazing stuff.
I like that. Well, somebody who could.
I haven't heard of them, but I'll definitely check them out because I love to find new AC/DC tribute bands that can bring it. That sounds like they do.
I just think it's amazing that a group from the 70s can still be so strong, still perform, and still have a fan base that continues to get stronger and stronger. I mean, it is amazing how they have touched the lives, Susan, of so many people.
Oh, and they do every day, you know, and we didn't even talk about tribute bands. Now there are probably tens of thousands of AC/DC tribute bands around the world in every language, every country. It's so fun. I mean, it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Well, now, what is a tribute band? What do they do?
They play AC/DC music. Some of them dress, you know, like the guitar player will dress in a schoolboy uniform, and it's a tribute to the band, and they play all AC/DC music. There's some really good ones. I mean, there's a band in Serbia called Band X that are friends of mine, and they do a great job, and AC/DC are from San Francisco, and they're all girls, and they rock. I mean, they're like I said, there's thousands of them out there.
Well, that's a great tribute.
Sure is.
East of the Rockies, Alan in Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, Alan. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, it's funny that Susan was just talking about the tribute bands because my girlfriend is from Belarus. I met her at a show. I've got my own band here in the Midwest, and she wanted me to be in a tribute band. I said, well, I got my own band. And she goes, well, you get to, you know, have fun and dress up in costumes. You know? I got to pretend to be, you know, other people, you know, every night anyways, you know, plus do my own stuff. But, you struck a chord with me earlier in the show, where you said that the young kids were going out to the AC/DC shows. I took and I wound up taking my kids. I'm divorced now, but that's why I've got a girlfriend. You know, I don't want to think that I'm doing anything wrong here.
No,
but,
not at all.
You know, 8 years old, 5 years old, my daughter was 8. She was on my shoulders, whole show, for Def Leppard in Kansas City. Packed house, all kinds of kids there, right? You go to another show, and you got girls that are in their 20s. Now, I'm 50, my girlfriend, she's 26. I saw her in the front of the stage, two songs left. I stole a pick from my lead guitar player. I tossed it to her, pointed to her, pointed at me, and, you know, I went and I saw she did not have a tracking device on her finger, you know, which that's, nobody can steal that. Anybody's listening, I made that up. That's her, you know, ring. And I just asked her, you know, if she had a boyfriend, and she said no. And I go, do you want to go to breakfast? So I'm not, you know, some guy that, you know, I'm not like that. And so anyhow, the thing is that there's a lot of young people that are coming to my shows. A lot of parents are bringing their kids.
Mm-hmm.
The industry tried to pretty much kill it in the early 90s, in the mid 90s, with bringing all the grunge from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their thought that they were going to do this and they were going to kill it, but it's never going to die. It's never going to die, you know? And then as far as like people talking about drugs and stuff, well, I'm 50 years old. I've never taken a drug in my life. I've never smoked pot.
Good for
you know,
you.
I drink a glass of wine. I had a gal the other night that said, hey, you know, how old are you anyways? And I said, how old do you think I am? And she said, 33.
Good for
and
you.
It's because I take care of myself. And there's a lot of, you know, rockers that, you know, we take care of ourselves and, you know, we're good family people. And, you know, my hair goes down to my chest. You know, I'm a long-haired 80s rocker. And, you know, but people look at me, you know, when I'm just out in society, and I know that they're looking at me kind of funny.
What's your favorite song to sing, Alan?
What's my favorite song to sing?
Yeah.
Up All Night, Sleep All Day.
I love it. Let's take a few more calls before the clock gets us, Susan. But that's cool. Alan, good for you. Keep doing what you're doing. If we ever get out to Omaha, we got to listen in on you. There
Absolutely.
Are so many. We have on the first Sunday of every month, we play emerging artist music that people send us CDs. And I got to tell you, Susan, there are a lot of talented people out there.
Oh, I know, and I love that you do that. That is such a great thing that you give them that venue.
Yep,
I
we give them their moment. In one split second, they're on 600 radio stations.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Laura's in Cincinnati. Laura, go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to ask, who's going to be taking Malcolm's place with the dementia, and how long has he had that?
Well, I think that Stevie is going to stay playing for Malcolm, and Malcolm has been ill for, I want to say, at least a year, but the symptoms started actually back during the Black Ice tour, now that Angus has revealed more of the details, but he's been very ill for about a year now. So it's not good, and it's very sad because Malcolm was the boss and the brains
yeah.
behind AC/DC. Everything yeah. that they did, Malcolm was the one that said yes or no to, and he was a very astute businessman.
He was the founder, right?
Yes, he was, yes.
He's the one who put it all together. Susan, only have about a minute left. First and foremost, tell us again where we can get your book, AC/DC FAQ.
You can go on Amazon. It's in bookstores around the country, and you can also go to SusanMassino.com. All six of my books are there, and AC/DC FAQ just came out a few months ago, so it's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun writing it, and there's a lot of fun stuff in there.
What's your next project?
Oh, my gosh. I am going to be working on screenplays.
Oh, really?
Yes, I want to make a movie out of my first book, Rock and Roll Fantasy, is the first script that I'm going to be working on and shopping. But I want to go into seeing my stories on screen.
Good
That's
for
my
you.
Next dream.
Well, good luck to you, Susan. You keep in touch with us, all right?
Oh, I will, George, and thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of Coast to Coast, and I'm always listening.
Susan Massino, the name of this book, AC/DC. FAQ. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burleson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.